came in peace for all mankind, and we're back, still attempting to bring peace for all mankind. I am Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my fellow Ugonaut, cosmonaut, astronaut, Jason Snell. Hi, Jason.
Hi, Dan. It's good to be back on the surface of Mars, I guess.
Mars, yeah. This is where we live now.
Of For All Mankind. Amazing. Amazing to be back.
Amazing to be back. It's been a little while, so, you know, if you found yourself thinking, wait, when did the last episode of this show air? Yeah, it was like 2 years ago. So, November 2023, I think, was when the last season started,
and it wrapped up in early... January 2024.
Yeah, 2024.
So more than 2 years ago, and then we talked to Ben Nadivi and Matt Wolpert after that for their little exit interview. I was watching the credits for this and thinking, hey, we talked to those guys.
Yeah, but we did talk to those guys.
It took them 2 years to do this, and now it's here. So I've forgotten everything that happened. And
well, good news.
just going to work through it.
As always, the season starts with an extensive clip package that is designed to both remind you of what you may have forgotten, as well as to get you up to date with the fact that we've had one of our usual time jumps.
Yeah.
Because we are now in, I believe,
2012, I believe. Not the
movie.
John Cusack movie. Was he in that?
Somebody
is in that. It's a disaster movie.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, John Cusack. Yeah.
Is it Cusack? Wow. Yeah. Okay. I've forgotten that one.
Yeah. John Cusack disaster movie. This isn't that. This is For All
Mankind.
This
is not that. So, yeah. Episode one is called...
It wasn't a disaster of 2012.
There will be probably a disaster at some point because this is For All Mankind.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way these things go. First Light, Season 5, Episode 1. You may remember there was an asteroid theft at the end of last season where the Goldilocks asteroid, which was supposed to come to Earth, was instead diverted into Mars orbit. So Mars has claimed it and is controlling the resources of iridium, which seemed to be our stand-in almost for like the 1970s gas crisis. Lots of things happen in this long clip package. We learn that Ed is tried in absentia for his part in the theft.
Right, because Danny went back. Yep. Danielle went back to Earth and was put in prison.
Right. Yeah. And Ed's there. Margot fate is known as well.
Oh, we've skipped over. So Al Gore loses the
election to Bragg.
James Bragg, who was the sucky vice president.
Wilson's vice president.
To Ellen. Also, the Red Sox lost the World Series.
I was saving that one, the worst part of this. The Red Sox lost the World Series in 2004. I'm still upset about it.
Hilarious.
John Lennon and Jay-Z do a concert.
I think they win a Grammy.
They win a Grammy, yeah.
Al Gore pardons the Mars rioters.
Yeah.
It's a last act, probably, right? Because that's when most normal presidential pardons happen is right at the end. They're like, yeah, the rioters are fine. So it's very much echoing the Ford. Was it Ford? No, Carter. Carter pardoned the draft dodgers. Yeah.
We also have Margot is a household name for her betrayal of the U.S. She's on the cover of some magazines.
Traitor Illustrated.
Again, yeah, let's to remind us of that, she basically took the fall for her and Alita helping the asteroid theft.
Right.
So she took the because she was already basically damaged goods, she protected Alita. We have Hobson, who was our administrator last time. Daniel Stern has been replaced as the NASA administrator. Katrina doesn't happen.
Katrina is not as severe. Yeah. Hurricane Katrina. Yeah. Montreal Expos moved to Portland.
Moved to Portland. That's right. the Portland Expo.
There are kitchen robots.
There are kitchen robots. Ellen has a memoir about her time as president.
Dev wants to build a space elevator on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And
JFK Jr. may run for president.
Right. And there is an Olympic boycott for the Vancouver Olympics, which is also a fun detail, I think.
The moon has a blockbuster on it. I enjoyed that.
Did not have that on my bingo card.
That was very strange. And we learn a little bit that Happy Valley now has families on it due to some radiation shielding that has been put in place. And we learn a little bit also about craters, who are the undocumented immigrants coming to Mars in crates. Hence the terminology.
Yeah, sure. It makes sense.
I also really enjoyed, there's a article about like getting the Mars physique in like a Men's Health style magazine or something. We also have tensions between India and Pakistan, which perhaps will come up there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And there's also a new Mars governor who is a Russian former cosmonaut.
Polivanov. Also, Breaking Bad is still on. Didn't change. They still do Breaking Bad. And Ted Kennedy dies of a brain tumor, as he does in our time. I don't know. There's flash mobs. It's whatever. It's still the 2010s. Interesting. Always a fun thing. They put a lot of effort into this and have... hire a couple of fake news anchors to read fake news headlines.
Yeah, and there are some little videos as well available on Apple TV that are 2 minute things about various stories.
I do recommend that you can go year by year and get another kind of sense of what has changed. I think definitely you get from this opening bit to the idea that there is the M7, and then
Is now the M6,
which is now the M6, and then there's everybody else, and there's real kind of like global tension about the haves and have nots, not just Pakistan and India, but generally there's this kind of global realignment where there are the Mars countries and everybody else.
There's another set of independent spacefaring nations as well, which is ISIN, which we will learn about more, but in this particular, I think it's mentioned briefly in one of those videos too. It's like a bunch of other countries that have banded together and are hey, we also go to space.
Oh, and also in that montage and in those videos, we also see that there is officially a law enforcement agency on Mars now. That is, you can read that as, that they needed law enforcement. You can also read that it is the long arm of Earth putting the people down on Mars. I guess it depends on how you view it.
Yeah. So we have the Mars peacekeepers, which is where we start this episode. We have a pair of peacekeepers, Boyd and Stanislaus, who are on patrol and basically catch a vandal doing some spray painting
Free Mars.
Mars slogans. And they try to chase him, and they chase him, and they disappear through a cornfield.
A cornfield. I love it. Runs into the corn. Who is she? What's she doing? Why is she there?
And is revealed to be a character that we will meet in a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a young woman.
Yeah. Right. Sunrise over Happy Valley. You can get to see what's going on. It's grown
a domes.
Lot.
Yeah, there's some domes, and it's a big city-ish sort of thing now. Back on Earth, we get a montage of the morning routines of two of our characters, Alita and Margo. Margo waking up in prison.
Yeah.
As Alita gets ready for her day at home.
Because she's still running Helios.
She's still running Helios. And so Helios is landed a robotic probe on a Jupiter moon.
On Titan.
Titan. And Dev wants to build a self-sustaining real city on Mars called Maru.
Mm-hmm.
But he has no funding for this, which is pissing off Alita because she's like, he's out there promising all these pie-in-the-sky ideas. We got a business to run.
I really like the dynamic of this because Dev is on Mars, right? And it's his company, but she's running it, right?
Right.
And I really like this dynamic because you've got this person who is a loose cannon, right? Like he is just, he says a lot of stuff because he's a billionaire and whatever. And then she's got reality back on Earth that she has to deal with. And that's a really interesting setup for that dynamic. I also want to just say that it's great to have Dev back because had a real breakout with Mr. Terrific.
That's right. Yeah.
And Superman. Because we watched Superman, we're like, hey, it's Dev. but he's back. And I this show, you have that question of like, are those characters going to come back? Or are they going to be like, no. That character's arc is done now, finally. But Dev is, Dev is still making trouble on Mars. So good to see Dev. Welcome back,
always,
Dev.
Always fun to see which characters get aged and how much.
Yeah.
We also catch up with Miles, who was our construction worker, basically,
construction
last time.
Construction worker turned organized crime.
Organized crime with a slight dash of the revolution in there as well. His wife and his family is now there as well. And we hear, hey, his daughter got up early and she's not there. Could it be somebody that we've already been introduced to?
It is.
It is. Ed is all dressed up in his naval uniform. He's got an ankle monitor.
Yeah. He looks, I think, excellently old. I think
they did a really good job this season. This season, he looks much better. And kudos to Joel Kinnaman, too. He's really, he's the physicality of his performance here.
He moves like
feels
a stiff
really
old
good.
Man. Yep.
Yep. He's shuffling around a little bit. Yeah. But I enjoy that he's still Ed, right? He goes in to like set off the ankle monitor for some place he's not supposed to be.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, come on, man. And he's just messing with people.
Yeah, that's Ed. He's just a troublemaker, even as an old man. Brand check, because this is the NASA vending machine, and we care about what vending machines and other items are available.
What kind of pizza is on Mars?
They don't even need vending machines anymore because they got Domino's Pizza and Starbucks on Mars, as well as, of course, an ATM, because you need that. That's a money vending machine on Mars.
It is interesting to see the progression, as we always talk about, the progression of technology, like comparative to our world, right? This is getting much closer to our present day,
right?
Everybody on Mars has phones.
They have iPhones, basically.
Yeah. Yep.
Because they can do that now, finally.
Right, so they've got a cell network that's on Mars.
Yeah, there's like a slide to unlock and stuff. And I'm like, oh, it's an iPhone. Yeah, oh,
that's
so cute.
So good. But like the vibe of this Mars sort of area that we've got that has like little, I don't know what you call it, it's like an indoor mall or something. I kind of feel like it's like 50% The Expanse and 50% DS9's Promenade.
Yeah.
Where there's all these little shops running up and down it. And like Miles is now running a restaurant. And, he's got his old black market buddy Ilya is his partner there, right? They've gone from having the bootleg bar basically to Miles is wearing like a suit and stuff. You know, they've got like this legit establishment.
Legitimate businessman, yeah.
So I enjoy that vibe from this, right? And like he's clearly trying to play like, you know, everything's kind of grown up now, right? It's not as like, oh, there's just a bunch of people working and kind of like living here because they're working here. It's now people actually have lives on Mars at this point.
Right, but it's still kind of Deadwood. Right, it's still frontier, but it's the frontier town that is getting a little less Wild West, but still not. It's still a frontier town. I think that there's an interesting conflict there.
Yeah. We also then have the Korolev crater where Kelly is pulling her samples, still trying to look for life on Mars.
Yeah, we got that vibe last season. That was like they're going to discover life any minute now, and this is like nope.
Nope. Yep. She's been working the entire time, and they found nothing.
Nothing. Nice shot of the dry ice snow in the crater. Yeah. I thought that was cool because you do have that. You have it, that's snow, but it's not water snow. It's carbon dioxide snow, but it is snow. So dry ice for that. Yeah.
We have our graduation ceremonies. The first class of kids are graduating from high school on Mars. There's four of them.
Mm-hmm.
Among the ones that we probably know the best are Alex, who is Kelly's son, who is the first quote unquote real Martian born on Mars.
Right.
And then we also have Lily, who is Miles' daughter, who is the one we saw in the opening.
This is the graffiti girl in the corn.
Her vandalism.
Yeah.
I do want to call out this is the actress here, Ruby Cruz, who I knew from the Willow TV show. And she's really good on that show. And I thought she did. She's kind of shaping up to be an interesting character here that I like having this cadre of these four kids who clearly are like, well, we're friends because we're the only four kids our age basically on Mars.
Right.
Are we like people who actually really know each other and get along, like, to varying degrees, it seems like. Right. But a lot of it is just, you know, these are the kids who are in your class.
These are the kids.
Better be friends with them or else you have no friends.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And there is the scene that reminding us that this is absolutely for all mankind. We see after graduation is all over, they run off somewhere secret where they can smoke pot, drink, and listen to Phoenix. The most transgressive thing of all, they're listening to the band Phoenix. I love Phoenix. And they point out that Ed still grows the best pot on Mars. So
one of the details I also loved here was Alex is wearing like a terrible jacket that does not fit him, which is very on vibe for like awkward high school teenagers. Like, is that Ed's old jacket or something? Probably. We learn back with Helios that the board is cutting funding for Alita's work because of Dev, and it's suggested that she pulled the funding from the Korolev project, which is Kelly's project, which she's not super excited about doing. And she's kind of in an awkward position now where, you know, she wants to support her friend, but also feels like she needs to be a responsible business person. Alex is enjoying his Not Vision Pro and the VR of the ocean, a thing that he has never seen.
Right.
And he has kind of a spat with Kelly. And then we hear that Dev has given him a present for his birthday. We also learn about the Sons and Daughters of Mars, which is our little outgrowth of the underground movement that basically from last year
right.
is now like a kind of political party, political organization.
Yeah, yeah. They're setting the stage here for what the players are going to be with the time jump. I will say, technically, it's not a Vision Pro; it's a VR3. But like, it's a
It's not a Vision Pro.
It's a VR3.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's from Apple though, because why not?
There's some disputes with the, like, you know, essentially the future of Mars and, like, how far are people willing to go? Like, how much sort of, like, political activism are they doing?
Right. Earth control of Mars is definitely a pain point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Also, we get to check in on our Korean
Lee
friend Lee. His wife has a good friend, which I immediately was like, what's going on there? Are you trying to tell us that they're having an affair? This is going somewhere, everybody.
Yep. It's not just two old men.
Suspicious.
Shooting the breeze.
A little suspicious.
Alex had said he would come to the meeting with Ed and of course didn't show up. And we learned that's because Dev has given him a motorcycle to drive around Mars, which he is doing at very fast speeds.
It's pretty awesome, though. I mean,
it is a really cool motorcycle. Which inevitably crashes.
Low gravity. Yeah, it does crash. Sure.
And sees something. It seems to be a person, perhaps. The call is put out, and our Mars peacekeepers are sent out to investigate him. Boyd, who is our woman from the opening that we saw, is also a pilot, and she's going to fly out there in the hopper, and they find this dead guy who's out there with no suit, which is referred to as pulling a Gordo.
Gordo. Man.
That is a flashback.
And then Dan, in a great moment that made me think, it is for all mankind. He could not have run out. He was way too far out to have run out there without a suit. Something doesn't add up. Someone moved him outside after he died. It was murder!
Murder!
On Mars!
On Mars. I enjoy it. So Celia Boyd is played by Mireille Enos, who I first encountered on the show The Killing.
The Killing, yeah.
Where she stars alongside Joel Kinnaman.
Slow TV, classic slow TV show.
Classic
The
slow
Killing.
TV. They play partners on that show, so they haven't really had a lot of interaction here, but I do kind of love that, because they were like, you know, like, that's how I met both of those actors, and now here they are on Mars.
On Mars. Of all places to run into them, it's on Mars.
How strange. We learned that Palmer, who was the, what was his job? He was the XO, I think. He worked with Ed.
Yeah. I think he's the guy who was really mad because they put Ed in charge.
Yeah. And he is now the sheriff of Mars. And so we have our like now we've shifted into crime drama where we have our autopsy right? scene.
Dan, I didn't know I needed a Mars based police procedural, but it's kind of awesome.
It's kind of great. Yeah, they have to talk about like, well, hey, well, he just died, right? Like of exposure. It's like, well,
it was murder.
It was murder. They check the eardrums and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like it. I like that whole bit with the murder on Mars. It's
I like that especially because they have a smash cut where they're like, "This does not leave the room."
Yeah.
It cuts to breaking news. Yeah. There's been a murder on Mars.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
We also learn that there. Lily Miles's daughter is basically interning. It looks like at the Mars arm of the news channel. And so we get a little bit of that, and then we get the Aleda confronting her daughter, who's home late.
I love this scene. This is a really nice scene where her daughter's home late, and she's going to give it to her, and her daughter's very, very upset and says, "Audrey broke up with me." And it's just such a great moment because she's like, "Audrey?" And it's
who's
like,
Audrey?
You're going to find out, you know, what's angering your kid, what's upsetting your kid is that she has a girlfriend. And you get to learn all of these things all at once. And I it's like, that's hard mode for a parent to kind of process all the different things that you need to process in that moment. But, you know, Aleda's got a lot going on. At least Dev isn't like throwing parenting problems at her from Mars, just corporate problems. But there's a lot
going on
with Aleda, who, remember, is one of the very first people we see, characters we see in the first episode of
Making Her
for
Way
all
Across
Mankind.
The Border.
Yeah.
Ed, Kelly's confessing to Ed basically the problems and that, you know, Aleda is going to cut the funding.
Right, because she can't, she's just finding nothing. She's just finding
she doesn't
nothing.
Have anything.
This is the scene where Ed does the telltale cough, where you're like, oh, the telltale cough.
No.
That's the cough of like somebody who's fixing to die in a TV show.
The world.
They do the tell, but then they immediately say, oh, yeah, he has stage 3 cancer. It's like, okay, all right. It told the tale really fast.
And they drop the like little tidbit that you could if you fly it could kill you it could be real bad so you know
I'm sure he won't
specifically don't do that
no Ed is never going to do the right thing or do the thing he's told not to do I guess so that's a flag for later and he does find
Alex's
VR3
yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah. Alex and his one of the other kids who is basically headed back to Earth have kind of a nice bonding moment about like whether they, you know, he's going back to Earth and Alex doesn't want to go to Earth or so he says.
It's the summer before college, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that's kind of like there's like a bittersweet moment that seems like, okay, maybe they are actual friends to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Aleda going to prison to visit Margot. And it seems like the two of them are on good terms. And Margot is basically helping her out under the table by like, you know, reading the newspaper and like whatever stuff Aleda's bringing her and be like, oh, I'm solving all your space problems.
Paying her in Tootsie Rolls,
which are apparently hard currency in the joint in 2012.
Apparently.
And then on Mars, we learn that Lily, wants to become part of the SDM, the Sons and Daughter of Mars. But Miles is a little more like, you should be focusing on yourself. You should get out of here. Like, so they have a little bit of a dispute. We also have Celia is a regular at Ilya and Miles's restaurant, and Ilya is trying to like. Butter her up basically without much luck. And she learns that that Palmer and the crew is on their way to arrest a suspect. And of course they go and knock on a door and it's Lee.
It is Lee.
Being arrested for the murder of our mysterious Korean victim.
Gasp.
Gasp. Twist. Yeah, so
there's a lot
going
here.
On setting up this entire dynamic. We've got a whole bunch of plot lines, a whole bunch of old characters and new characters, a lot of threads that are kind of being pulled here.
Look, this is a really tough episode because they have set obviously the way they did this is they figured out what story they wanted to tell for this season and then they have to get us up to speed. And I feel like this episode does a lot of heavy lifting. I'm not sure how much I enjoyed this episode. just because it feels like they are, I can see them sweating. I mean, the murder stuff is really great. And some of the stuff with the kids is really good. There's like a lot of good character bits, but there's this other part of it that does seem like it's, you need to know who the players are and what all the dynamics are that we're doing this season. And it's just, it,
there's some juggling.
Like it makes it a little, I mean, I didn't think this was bad or at all, but I think having to remember everything that happened and being brought up to speed on where we are now, it's a tough job. I will say that.
There's a lot of boxes to check.
But
and
it,
like,
yeah, it feels a little
that,
like
you
homework.
Said, things that you are, you can kind of see the direction of where things are going, but a lot of it feels like, there's parts that feel very much like, hey, you paying attention? Like the Kelly plot line, right? Where it's like they spend a lot of time on the like she's looking for life. She
and
hasn't found
any
life. They want to cut her funding. Like we get that beat a couple times, and it's good to know that. But I feel like maybe some of that could have been accomplished more briefly and focusing more on some of the stuff. But it's the trouble of balancing also this enormous cast of characters, both returning characters and new characters, right? Like. They've actually trimmed down, like, so we've got like Alita and Margot, we've got, you know, Ed and Dev, and other than that, you know, we've got Miles too. Like there's a handful of characters who are carrying over most of our characters. I mean, Ed and Margot, I think, and Alita, I guess, to a certain extent, are our only characters that go back to season one at this point.
Characters, yeah, I think that's right. It's funny, and I like that Alita goes to visit Margot. I did have that moment where I thought, what do we have left to do with Margot? I mean, that's my question, is what do Margot and Ed have left to contribute?
Yes, exactly.
To this show.
Being shuffled off.
And I like the stuff with the kids because it is For All Mankind basically saying, yeah, we know. Like, you got to have new characters. And we have others who are interesting. We've got... You know, Kelly's doing stuff and Alita's still an active player here and all of that. But like, it does need to move on. And I that's going to be a thing to watch is just like, are these characters there because, I mean, I assume they're there because they have something to do this season, but I remain a little skeptical of what they have left to contribute to this world other than we need to integrate them because we brought them back, you know, because they're familiar faces.
Yeah. I mean, and some of it is we're running into like age, right? Like Ed is, I think, 81 of this point. Like there's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
And how long can he still be a relevant part of this?
Well, I mean, not with the telltale cough, I'm thinking not long.
Right. Yeah. Maybe, I guess maybe he makes it through the end of the season. We'll see. I agree with you on Margot, especially because she's in prison, right? It feels like there's not a lot of dynamism for that. What do you do with that character? And she's been through so much over the course of this show that it kind of feels like they spend so enough time with her to make you think that this is going to be significant. But I don't really know. And this is For All Mankind, right? It tends to be later in the back half of the season that we start to see these threads come together. And we're like, oh, that's why we spent all this time with this.
Obviously. I appreciate doing what they're doing. To try to get us up to speed, but I think that this is just one of the facts of doing a show like this, is that episode one is gonna about laying groundwork,
table setting,
and as a result, you know, you're not watching as much of the action. I actually think it was a brilliant idea to have this murder plot, because not only is that a familiar story transposed to space, which is fun, but then that moment where like I said when they said like Lee and this guy, and he's been spending time with Lee's wife, and I'm like and then they arrest Lee, and I'm like, oh, Lee, what did you do? And it's like, I don't know if Lee did it or if it's going to remain a mystery or anything like that, but it's clearly, as a high profile person, it's going to be there are more stakes going on because he's the first man on Mars, and there's the ongoing question about like extraditing people to Earth from Mars. Ed doesn't go,
I can't make him, I guess, is the discussion. Like,
yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, Yeah, so it is interesting because a lot of this is also positioned with like some of the stuff we see in the news brief talking about like the economics of on Earth and obviously the asteroid and all that stuff. And like we're setting up this dichotomy between Mars, right? You know, we have between the free Mars, you know, arguments and things like that, where it's like, is Mars able to determine its own fate? Like that was kind of what they were trying to do when they stole the asteroid, was set up a future where Mars is its own thing, but it's still not there, right? Like almost,
and
what,
it's
however
got
many years later,
and it's having, I think, in a very clever way that maybe even came from some of the feedback they got after the season was over. This is your chance to do adjustments as producers, is in between seasons. Mm-hmm. I think when we, whether intentionally or not, we left last season being like, well, this changes everything, and this season is like, it does, but it's way more complicated than you might think. And not only does that make for good drama, but I think that there's some more reality to it. Like, it actually causes a lot of social problems on Earth.
Right.
That's really interesting, right?
And stuff never changes as much or as quickly as you really want it to or expect it to.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of, I think you're right, there's a little bit of dialing back and like, let's establish kind of what the new normal is. And this is the situation that we are working from going, you know, forward into the season. This is the sort of the state of play. But lots of interesting threads here, I think, mm-hmm. dropped in episode one, but not a lot of, you know, not a lot of focus conclusion, I guess, you know, a lot of things sort of cast out there.
Open-ended kind of stuff. Fun to see Alex riding the bike. Fun to have the murder mystery. There's also some more work going on there, so it's fine. We got 10 episodes, right? So we're giving it a start here with episode one, but is it 10 episodes, 8 episodes? I don't know how many episodes there are.
I think 10. Most seasons have 10. Yeah,
I think it's 10. So there's more to come. Hard to, you know, we're back. It's good to be back. Good to be back on Mars. Good to be back seeing these people. And, you know, fully recognizing that while I didn't, you know, love this episode, I also recognize how hard it is from a dramatic perspective to take an ongoing show, remind you of what happened before, and set all your pieces in place for this whole story that you want to tell.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you could feel it, but it's also good to be back. And, you know, anytime, you know, Ed's doing shifty stuff and Dev's doing shifty stuff, like, great, bring it on.
I agree with you. It's always a little tough to like get back into the swing of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, after some time away, and remind everybody like, here's how this show works. So I'm looking forward though to seeing what happens.
No horrendous disasters. I mean, a murder, but no horrendous like space disasters.
Small scale disaster.
It's different. It's different stuff going on here. All right, well, I think that is our first episode, but we'll be back next week for more, because that's how television works, folks.
They keep making episodes, and so we keep making episodes.
That's how it works. All right, we'll be back next week, but until then, thanks for being on Mars with us. Dos vidanya, Dan.
Dos vidanya, Jason.